Good evening. It's good to see one and all here. What a blessing it is to be here this evening. Thank you, Stan, for those devotions and the encouragement to keep pressing on and exercising our Christian walk. So Stan introduced us as Jay and Sylvia Hoover. We have six children. There's three of them along here this evening. We have two girls, the oldest two are girls, Anna and Adria. Adria's here. And then four boys, it's Jacob and Caleb are at home. And then Isaac and Ezekiel are along this weekend. So that's the family that the Lord has blessed us with. This evening, I would like to look at a message, and I entitled it First Fruits. And an offerings bring blessings, offerings that bring blessings. The first fruit is offered, salvation, deliverance, and protection follows. So we just came through the Easter weekend, and the first fruits is a feast that God commanded. First fruits, or the Feast of Weeks, was to start the Jewish religious calendar in recognition of God's blessing over the past year and celebration for God's future provision over his people in the year ahead. The most mentioned day in the Bible except for Passover. This was all pointing forward to Christ, the first fruits of resurrection, new life, salvation, and deliverance. As believers, we are his first fruits. We are his first fruits. As we courageously offer our lives, we will see salvation and deliverance of the Lord in our circumstances. So I'd like to look at a verse in Exodus. It would be the first verse. Exodus 23:19. First fruits, or the Feast of the Weeks. Exodus 23:19. Here God commands his people through Moses to give the first fruits of the field. As I was thinking tonight, the beautiful evening that we're having for you to come to church, it is a first fruit. You are giving to the Lord tonight by coming to his house. Exodus 23:19, the first of the first fruits of the land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God, thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. So there we can see in the first part of the verse, the encouragement was to give our best to the Lord, to the first fruit, what we have been blessed with, to give it to the Lord. And then the last there, I'm not sure why that is in there, but it is God's word, thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk, and that would be to boil a kid or a lamb in the mother's milk. I'd like to look in Leviticus now, 23, for more on the first fruits. So we think of first fruits in our life. I personally, the first fruit in my life every day should be to get up and to read God's word, to be encouraged by it. That takes discipline not to pick up my cell phone to see what was happening overnight, but to let that communication lay and to have that communication with God. The first thing is in my life, that is something I have to work at. Leviticus 23, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priests. And just with that picture there, bringing a sheaf of the harvest to the priests, I guess they would have brung the last or the first things, that the sprouts or the bud, to the priest, and they would offer it to God and for a thanksgiving for the past and for the future. And you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after Sabbath. The priest shall wave it, and ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf, and he lamb. When ye wave the sheaf on he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour, and drink offering thereof shall be wine and the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. So in the commandment from Moses here, the families were commanded to carefully watch their fields for the first bud, the first fruit. And after that sacrifice to the priest, the first fruit had sanctified the rest, and then they could move on with the harvest. So what do the first fruits represent in your life? So what does the first fruits represent in your life? Giving to God first, not just the leftovers of our paycheck, but the first fruits, giving him the best, whether it be the best part of our day or the best that we own. We're encouraged to give him the best, the first fruit. In Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out with new wine. Very basic command here in Proverbs. Very basic. Give to the Lord first, and you shall reap the barn full, and your wine presses shall be full. We'd like to look at some the feast and the 17th day. The Feast of the Weeks, the first fruits, was celebrated on the month of Nisan, the 17th day. There are many important happenings on this day. We sometimes do not, or personally, I don't always think about what's happening this day and what happened last year on this day. In God's word, the month of Nisan and the 17th day has a lot happening throughout history on that day. And I would just like to look at a number of them. In Noah's Ark, we can be found in Genesis 8:4. And the ark rested the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Noah's ark rested on the mountain on that day, the 17th day of the seventh month of the Jewish civil calendar. So this is thought to be the same calendar day as the resurrection. So God's people that were in that ark were saved. And it's also thought to be the very same day as the resurrection. And it signifies God's deliverance and his salvation, pointing from Noah's time through to what Jesus had done on the cross and defeating death. And then I would like to look at the Passover and the Red Sea crossing. I invite you to turn to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, verse 3. I'm sorry, Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginnings of the month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So here Moses and Aaron were instructed to change the calendar, kind of, the calendar year, from the civil calendar to this was to be the first month, which was the Passover, to the new year, to the time of Passover. So I'd like to read in Exodus 12, 3 to 7 now. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. So they were to choose a lamb. They're to watch that lamb very diligently in their house. And on the day of the month, the first month, the Passover month, on the 14th day, they to kill the lamb and then to put the blood on their doorpost. And we know the story of the death angel that came through, but when he seen that blood, he passed over. He passed over those Israelite people that had the blood applied to their post. Jesus was crucified on Passover. Now we'd like to move on here a little bit. Choose a lamb and bring it into your home on the 10th day of the month and on the 14th day to kill it. Exodus 12, 40 and 41. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So the Israelite people would have went to Egypt to save them from the drought or the hunger. But then they were put into slavery, and 430 years later, they were brought out. They were delivered from the famine, and they were also delivered from the Egyptians in a miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. As I think of how God delivered them from the famine there, took them there because it was a land of plenty, and then they found themselves there in a bad way, and God also delivered them out of that land. They marched out of that city. I asked you to turn to Exodus 14. I'd like to start in verse 13. So what we're talking about is the Passover and the Red Sea crossing. Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch it out, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on the dry land through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will burden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon the chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon the chariots and upon his horsemen. As we think of Moses taking that step of faith to stretch his rod out over, and that water parted for him. But they also had their enemy still behind them. I would like to pick up reading in verse 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. They remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters of the wall upon them on the right hand and on the left hand. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And Moses and the congregation sang a new song there in Exodus 2, 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength, a song as he became. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prove, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father God, and I will exalt him. So this day that Moses led that people, it was a great victory for the Israelites, saving God's people. This event here pointed forward to Jesus rising from the dead and conquering the grave on this day many years later. There's more special occasions that happen on the 17th day of Nisan, the first day of the day of the first fruits. I'd like to look at Joshua here, Joshua 5, 10 to 12. So Joshua had the promised land ahead of him as he was with Moses, and they wandered in the wilderness for many years there. But Joshua had this promise of the promised land ahead of him. Joshua 5, 10 to 12. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, and at eve in the plains of Jericho, and they did eat of the old corn and of the land of Tamarah after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn, and in the selfsame day, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten all the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So as they crossed that river for the last time into the promised land, the manna stopped and the first fruits began, and God was providing for them in the new, in the promised land. It's amazing how God takes care of his people, and he still does that today for you and I. He takes care of us, and he wins our victories. He fights our battles. I would like to keep going. I invite you to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Another day of the 17th day of Nisan. It was a special day here. 2 Chronicles 29. It's Hezekiah. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, and the daughter of Zephariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. So here, Hezekiah felt a burden for God's house. It was being neglected. There was idol worship going on in that temple. This was Solomon's beautiful temple. Now I would invite you to step down to verse 17 in 2 Chronicles 29, 17. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. On the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month they made an end, and they went to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offerings with all the vessels thereof, and the shewbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which the king Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgressions, we have prepared and have sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." So this was a huge task for Hezekiah to, let's say, break the bondage maybe that the people were in, to clean the house of the Lord. Hezekiah, he cleansed the temple in preparation for Hezekiah cleansed Solomon's temple in the first month. Preparations, sanctifications were finished on the 16th. On the 17th, many offerings were made for the atonement of Israel. You can see there in the picture, the priests were cleansing the temple. They were cleaning house, if you will. They were cutting ties from the old way, and there was this anticipation. And on the 17th day, they offered the sacrifices to the Lord. I invite you to verse 35 and 36. "And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order, and Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that the God had prepared the people, for this thing was done suddenly." It was done according to God's law. The temple was cleansed, cleaned. The people were prepared, and they offered a sacrifice to God the way it was to be done. And God blessed them. We'd like to look at another account on the Nisan 17 day, the first months of first fruits. I invite you to turn to Esther chapter 3. Here in Esther's, the story of Esther, she helped with the deliverance for the Jews. She was willing to go the extra mile, you might say, or lay her life down for her people. Esther 3:12. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, it was it written and sealed with a king's ring. So Haman's process of eliminating the Jewish race, he was putting that into law, and he got the king's seal on that. On the first of the month, the 13th day, Haman had the king sign the decree that would destroy all the Jews. I'd like to go to Esther 4, chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou should escape in the king's house." More than all the Jews, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nor night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So here we can see that Esther knew she was here for this time in this place, and she asked her people to fast for her. And on the third day, she courageously went into the king and invited him to a banquet. Instead of making her request at the first banquet, she invited the king and Haman back for the banquet the next day, and God worked amazingly in an amazing way in a 24-hour period here. So I'd invite you to go to Esther 7, verses 1 and 6. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And if it shall be granted thee, what is thy request? It shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom." Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I am my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I held my tongue. Although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage, then the king Ahasuerus asked and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is he and where is he that thus presume in his heart to do so?" And Esther said, "Thy adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." Then Haman was afraid of the king and the queen. On to verse 10. So they hanged Naaman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was pacified. And when that happened was the Nisan, the 17th day of the first month, the first fruits. Haman was condemned, and the Jews were saved. God had watched out for his people again. He had made a way to save that race. So I'd like to move on to Christ as the first fruit and the resurrection. The resurrection, most significant of all mankind was delivered from the powers of darkness on the day of the first fruits. And that happened 3 days after Passover, when Jesus would have rose from the grave. He defeated death. And we just came through the Easter season here. Would invite you to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now in Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are in Christ at his coming. So here we can see in these verses, Jesus is the first to rise from the dead. A resurrection happened on the first fruits. And thank you, Jesus, for defeating death and rising again, that we may also have that newness of life. I'd like to look in Acts 26. Here Paul is testifying with King Agrippa. Having therefore attained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So we are of the Gentile race, and we are still benefiting from that, that Jesus rose, and yes. So we are his first fruits. In James 1, I invite you to turn there if you will. James 1, 17 and 18, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom no variableness, neither shadow of turning, of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of firstfruits of his creature. So we are to be a firstfruits of Jesus, to be after him. So what precedes the sacrifices of the first fruits in our lives? So what is there? How can we make the things that lined up for the Jewish people that happened and brought them out of bondage, saved them from starvation to going into Egypt and then delivered from bondage and many other things there? How can we apply that to our life today? Well, we talked a little bit about Noah. For Noah, it was believing God and having radical obedience to stand alone for God. God told Noah to go out there and build this ark on dry land, this huge ship on dry land. That was radical for Noah to start doing that. Am I that strong for the Lord that I would go build something that he told me to do in the middle of an ark in the middle of my field? We live up on the hill. We have no need for a boat that we know of. But Noah had radical obedience. He stood alone for God. For Moses and the children of Israel, it meant leaving Egypt behind and crossing the Red Sea by faith. So they came to the sea. The enemy was behind them. The sea was ahead of them. And the waters parted. And to take that step, to go down through, that took faith, courage. Stand still and see the salvation of God. He still works today. For Joshua, it was being strong and courageously marching into the promised land to take possession of it. Moses wasn't allowed to enter that promised land, but he got Joshua there, or they made it there, and to go into that land, that promised land. And the spies, we know the whole story, how there was giants there, everything was there, big cities. But Joshua courageously stepped out, marching into the promised land. So what is God telling you to do? How is God telling you to move ahead? Maybe you've been thinking about the need for a teacher in Grenada or wherever it is. How is God encouraging you or working in your life? How are you processing that? For Hezekiah was to get rid of idolatry of his father and sanctify the temple. So there was that that bondage that was going on for generations, that generational sin or bondage. And Hezekiah said, today we're going to cleanse the temple. We're going to clean house. He chose to break the bondage. For Esther, it was laying down her life for her people. If I perish, I perish. I'm here today to serve you, Lord. For Jesus, the ultimate example, the perfect Lamb of God, laying down his life and overcoming death and rising again to a newness of life. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Deliverance and salvation came after the cross. The victory came with great courage and at great cost. The difficult things in your life may bring the greatest blessing. As we think of difficulties that we may go through in our life, when there's years down the road, the Lord was leading. He had his hand in this. There is a blessing here for us. The victory came with great courage and a great cost. So many times we have to go through a dry spell, difficult times, rocky road, whatever it may be. But in the end, we can see God's leading. In Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thank you, Jesus. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when we give him that, the thank you from our lips. If we bless his name, the fruit of our lips of giving thanks. Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you blessed us with and the beauty of it and the opportunity to come into your house of worship tonight. Lord, I'd just like to pray a blessing on this congregation here. Thank you for each one that came out. Bless them for that. Lord, as we look at how you call us to live our life, to giving our best to you, can we be encouraged to do that? And Lord, I just pray that we can also realize that when we do that, we may not see a blessing immediately, but you are faithful in sharing that back to us in many different ways. Thank you for being victorious over the death of the cross and the grave, rising victorious there. And dying for our sins, cleansing us, and how you're ever present with us as well. Lord, I just pray as we leave here, we can have traveling mercies and return in the morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.